everyone. I'm Emma, a certified dog trainer.
And I'm Kirsten, a certified dog behavior consultant.
And this is Dog Chats. Join us as we chat about dog behavior, having fun with your dogs, and building relationships. We will offer practical advice and a bit of humor.
Welcome to episode 21. We're going to chat about dogs with some special needs and the magic they bring into our lives. So, Emma, what does it mean when a shelter advertises a special needs dog?
Well, it could be a dog that's blind, deaf, maybe has a leg that's amputated, a medical condition. It could even be some behavioral issues,
like separation anxiety.
A lot of those dogs can be overlooked in the shelter environment, but we think it's worth checking them out and taking a look.
Yeah, because you don't have to have special skills necessarily to adopt a dog.
No, I've worked with some dogs that are deaf and they adapt really well. I have a family that does the sign language with him and he knows all of that, which is wonderful because we're so expressive anyway with our bodies.
We're teaching the hand signals anyway.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so the point is you don't have to be a highly skilled dog trainer to be a mom or dad of a dog with special needs.
A lot of rescues and shelters will offer you support for the dogs with special needs and what they will need when they come to your home.
And some of the good shelters and rescues, right, will offer or actually require that if it doesn't work out, if the challenge of the situation is too difficult, that you bring the dog back to them.
And I think that can help too. I think it can help for adoptions, but also help ease you that you're going to give it your best effort, but you have that option to bring the dog back. And I think that's a really lovely thing that some of the rescues offer. And then there's some shelters that actually, for elderly dogs that may have medical problems, will have a setup where they can pay for medication or whatever that is for the rest of the dog's life, which can really help with those elderly dogs to go into homes and you don't have that cost of the medical bills, which can really help. So we're really happy today to have Lizzie and Roger with us and their dog Scout. And we're just going to find out a little bit about how Scout came into their lives and then a little bit about Scout because he's pretty amazing. Welcome, first of all, to the podcast. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
When you started your search looking for a dog, what was that like? Were you looking for a big dog, a small dog?
Yeah, I think we were open to any dog in concept, but we did a bunch of research, learning about different breeds and what their propensities are. We live in a condo. We don't have a yard, so we were really concerned about not getting a dog that needed more space than we have. And we also have neighbors close by, and we wanted to make sure we didn't get a dog that barked a lot. We thought these were all things you could control for. At least I did. And along the way, I know we decided that we were going to get a rescue. But even so, we thought learning about the different breeds might help us rule out some rescues that might be a bad fit.
Mm-hmm. So, great.
Yeah. And I'll just wind up by saying I thought we should narrow it down to small dogs, like smaller terriers, based on the space and training and all of that.
So we haven't said what size Scout is yet. We're leaving that as a little surprise, but we all do that. We all go out thinking this, like, I didn't want a female. I didn't want a large dog. I didn't want a puppy. You know, there was a whole bunch of things I didn't want, and that's what I have, and I'm very happy with it. But tell us a little bit about how you met, when you met Scout at first, and if there was any information that was with him at the rescue. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I met him first, despite all the research Roger did. I'm the one who met our dog first. and it was at a foster event. And that was another thing that Roger and I decided we wanted to do, was use a foster organization that took dogs out of shelters and got them accustomed to living with people. So we went to an event it was two foster organizations that were there, and we had two or three dogs that we wanted to meet. They were both small. First dog we met had a sign on it that said, what did the sign say?
I think it said, don't pet me,
I bite. I bite. He said, not really a good idea for a first dog. The second dog was a yapper. And then Roger went looking for the third dog. And the night before, we had seen a dog and met a dog, and it was a pit bull. It was advertised as a terrier.
It was advertised as part Boston Terrier.
Right, and it did look nothing like a pit bull, but it was a pit bull. And it was sweet. It was adorable, and I was ready to just jump right in and foster it and maybe adopt it. It was big, heavy, tons of energy. Roger rightfully said, let's wait. But then I saw Scout, who is part pit, and I thought, well, that other pit was so cute. So I went over to Scout. Nobody was with Scout. He looked agitated. And I remember thinking to myself as I looked at him that he seemed different. Now, in retrospect, he was probably not focusing because he's blind. Everybody, he's blind.
Yeah, yeah.
Or mostly blind. And so I sat down. I didn't pet him. And I spoke with his foster. And she immediately told me he was blind, that she was kind of upset that she had to foster a blind dog. But it turns out he was a breeze. And that's kind of what sold me, that he was an easy dog. He was good for first-time dog owners. He didn't bark. He doesn't get into things. He doesn't chew things. And that just may be because of who he is. May not have anything to do with the fact that he's blind. But all of those things and his kind of confidence, despite the fact that he seemed vulnerable, sort of appealed to me.
So before you met Scout, had you thought about adopting a special needs dog?
No.
As a matter of fact, if you had asked us, I'm sure we would have said definitely not, because we just, I don't know, we're kind of cautious by nature. We would never jump into the deep end on something like that.
Yeah.
Or what seemed like the deep end.
Yeah.
Right. When in fact, it's not at all the deep end.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And did you then, because it was a foster organization, did you say we can foster, or did you go straight to adoption when you made that decision?
Straight to adoption. Yeah. And what struck me as odd was Roger sat down next to me. He hadn't yet met the dog, and he was sold immediately. And I don't know if that happened to everybody, but I think maybe because he was sort of anxious, yet he still wanted to know about us.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't shy away from us. And I felt like that was a good sign.
Yeah. And you hear that a lot, that people just make connections. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the dog.
And imagine that from his perspective, Scout, being that foster adopt situation like that, sounds like there were a lot of people, a lot of dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And yet anxious. He was still resilient.
And able to connect with you, which is awesome. Yeah.
I was just curious. So did you bring him home that same day, or did you have time to do some research? And
we wanted to, but they let us. They had a policy where you had to attend a leash training class that they have with they bring the dog there to meet you again. Okay. And then you do the class with the dog, and then you're allowed to adopt it. I don't think it's supposed to be a test, but I think secretly
it's a very, very smart way to kind of keep an eye on what's going on. Yeah.
It's an impulse control test.
Right?
And they required that we had a bunch of things like a crate and mostly the crate. So we weren't prepared for that anyway. We needed the day to go.
Get all the stuff things.
Together and be ready for the leash training, which was the next day. And then I think
we took him home that day. Yeah. We went back to the shelter to do all the paperwork.
Yeah.
And then took him home. And the foster was with us. And the kennel worker, he came out, and Scout hadn't seen the kennel worker in
months.
And Scout immediately ran up to him. Oh. Sort of hugged and greeted each other. And he was the one who had discovered he was blind when he was brought into the shelter. They didn't know he was blind. And he said, hey, you know, I think something's up with this dog. He's running into things. He's, you know, not focusing. And that's when they discovered that he has what's called progressive retinal atrophy.
How great it was, too, that he was in a foster home, because you got some really good information about what that person was seeing with him.
Yeah, and the foster was with us on the leash training, so she would tell us what words she was using to help him avoid, you know, running into rose bushes or rocks or things like that. And that was sort of an indicator of how we could develop our own kind of language, which Roger will go into detail with because he's the primary trainer.
And did the rescue themselves, did they give you any support stuff for taking a special needs dog home and what to expect?
No, not in terms of special needs. They definitely had materials developed that were just about adopting in general. And, you know, I've since learned about the 3-3-3 rule, mm-hmm. but their stuff, I think, was, I feel like their numbers were slightly different, but it was all about not trying to overwhelm the dog with love, but first. And
which went out the window.
Pretty good.
I was not.
Oh, that's what it's all about.
So how did you modify your home, or did you have to do anything?
Well, no, we didn't really have to do anything. I thought we would, but he was very good at sniffing things out and using his nose to kind of, you know that something was there. We don't move the furniture. If we do move the furniture, he will bump into it for sure.
Yeah, we have to be mindful when you, if you pull a chair out from the dining table,
yeah, you got to put it back in.
Remember to put it back.
I've always got to put my office chair back under the table because it's kind of like a throughway to his dog bed. And if that's there, then he doesn't like that chair in particular.
Probably with good reason.
Yeah. Right.
But no, we didn't have to. I mean, because he's blind, there's certain things I think other people might have to hide that would look like toys, but he's oblivious to them. And in terms of him being blind, we've kind of learned since then it's better just to just let him find the stuff on his own and not mm-hmm. try to change it for him.
Yeah.
We don't have anything here. I guess if I had something extremely fragile or extremely pointy, I would consider that.
And we've been to a number of Airbnbs with him, and wow. We walk him around. We take him in and we walk him around inside and out. And it doesn't even take him very long. He's just very good at sniffing around and finding out what's there. And I've kind of eyeballed and seen if like they have something that might be breakable and moved it out of the way and just tried to make it. I mean, that's the big adjustment. It's like a dog is with us all the time now. And I think for any dog, whenever you go into a new space, you just sort of make sure that that environment is going to be good for that dog as well, mm-hmm. so, in addition to yourself. It's just the way it is now. And it's like a child, really, although probably not quite as exhausting. But
I would say, too, it's never perfect. It's like they often have big glass coffee tables that he hits the corner of, but part of it is we just let him do that. Like he'll hit it a couple times and then he makes a mental note.
Yeah. You keep him safe, but you also give him that independence to kind of figure it out himself a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I know you guys. So I know you did lots of research on blind dogs as soon as he came into the home because of all the research you had done before you even decided on getting a dog. So what were those things that you learned and then the training you did? That you found helpful?
There was not a lot because most people on the internet, and this is what we've discovered in talking to people who have had blind dogs, whether they've been born or gotten blind later in life, that it's not a big deal. You don't have to make a lot of changes. Little things here and there. The furniture is the main one. But Roger will give you more of a sense, I think, of how he's had to change training a little bit. And so how has that worked for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's not a lot out there that I could find on training blind dogs. I think a lot of it is more like remedial, like your dog just had surgery and this is what you should do.
Oh.
But as you know, all dogs are individuals uh-huh. and one training method wouldn't necessarily fit them all anyway. And I think a lot of it depends on how long your dog's been blind and how they got blind. And
was he born blind?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, according to the vet and the ophthalmologist, he was born with full sight. And then this illness just basically, your eyesight just slowly just goes away.
It deteriorates. It's yeah. Part of your eye, the pupil, the back of the pupil deteriorates. And it's something that happens to a few breeds of dogs. And
yeah, what did you teach him? Like, what were the things that you thought would be helpful for him to move around the environment within your house and then also the world? Because you bring him out exploring all the time.
So he, when we got him, he already kind of knew the words up and down, which are used for steps
and curbs.
Well, anything you step up and down. And so you literally say the word up right before he's going to need to step up onto something. One modification I made was I added the word ready, because it felt like you could just be ambling along and all of a sudden
you say up. he's trying to figure it out fast. Yeah.
Oh, would always
drag
across the step at the front of it, or sometimes he would even stumble.
So I added the word ready. So there's this whole cadence. It's sort of a sing-songy thing. So he can.
Mind you, we talk to our dogs while we're walking them.
Oh, I don't think about that. No, dog
for this. And I thought, you guys are crazy. Now I talk to my dog all the time to help him like navigate the world. Yeah. Also just to let him know I'm there, you know, because. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if he gets freaked out by a loud noise, I soothingly want to, but I'm always talking to my dog now. And so I'm just the crazy person with their dog. Anyway, sing song. And so he sings to the dog as we walk.
Give us an example there, Roger.
I mean, coming to a curb, I would say, ready, down. I also try to make it fun and exciting. And the more playful my tone is, the more playful he gets off the curb.
Yes.
We have a word over for him to jump over puddles. We'll say over. And so if we do it that way, he just kind of like
takes the leap. He's ready to go.
Right. There's about 10 or 12 commands that are all about navigating the world. And it's just been really fun to teach him. And a lot of them have to do with he was saying a word at the right moment over and over until he knows when he hears the word, it's going to have
all the repetition. Yeah.
And it means, like, for instance, the phrase watch out. So I would just let him walk into some of the softer bushes in the neighborhood without trying to save him. And I would say, watch out. Because, you know, like if he's going to step into something dangerous, you want to hold him back. But to train him on some of this stuff, I was learning to just let him encounter it and then say the phrase that goes with it. Just learn.
How amazing. You guys, honestly, for first time, I mean, like, did you have a dog when you were younger, Roger?
I did as a kid.
But like for adult first time dog owners, like you guys are amazing. Honestly,
inspiring. I think that's part of the thing. I'm very objective about it. I mean, and it was almost like bringing an infant home. I mean, I knew nothing. Thank God for you, Emma. You were our lifeline. We were looking at text messages today, looking at like the history with you. It's like, do you have time for a 5-minute phone call? I mean, we were first time dog owners, but that's the fact that they're so different, yet we have a lot of similarities, but they're so different. That's the beauty of it. You know, that I'm constantly just amazed by him every day because he's magical. You know, he's mysterious to me.
Yes.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So, and I saw a very funny video with Scout and Buddy, but how does Scout interact with other dogs if he can't read the other dog's body language? How does he know how to play?
That's a great question. His solution is he goes into, I think we call it statue mode, which is he freezes. And just lets the other dog or dogs initiate everything and sniff. And then after a few seconds of that, he starts responding.
Okay. He usually wants to play. He's very playful with other dogs. He once that initial kind of, okay, I don't know who you are. Sometimes he's not interested, but if he gets to know the dog, he immediately goes into a play bow. And he's all about that. But there are one or two dogs that he doesn't actually get along with, just like any other
dog. Like us, right? It's great that he has, and maybe that was before he went blind. Maybe his skills were really good then. But for him having the special need, but still being able to stand still and allow another dog that he doesn't know much about what's going on around him, to be able to go, I'm confident enough to just let you come check me out.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty confident, but the problem is we did this initially, we did have him off leash at some parks, and we discovered we can't do that anymore because he's so enthusiastic and so playful. He just goes after the dogs because they know where they're going.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if they're big or small. So if it's a small dog, he can stress that dog out a lot. Mm-hmm. He can stress out big dogs. And then he gets a little too enthusiastic. And he's gotten a few cuts. And so it's like, but parks in general, especially if small children are around, because he can just like mow somebody down.
He doesn't even see them. But yeah, but I mean, like, what great learning for you too, because that's what we all do, is we kind of go, this is working, this is not, that's not appropriate for our dogs and what they can do. But yeah. Fascinating, just totally fascinating the way he maneuvers around the world. I watch your videos when you bring him to a new place and you do it safely, that he can be a little bit off leash exploring himself. And it's just amazing that he just adapts. And sometimes he's running around, but it's almost like he's mapped the area.
Right.
Like he kind of hits a point and then turns and hits a point and turns.
Yeah.
The very first time we went on vacation with him, there was a yard, which we don't have. And so I walked him around the whole perimeter of the yard a couple times. And that's one of the first videos that we put up. And he just started tearing around it. But
at one point he did fly into the shrubs. But
he did, he did make that calculation.
Yeah.
And something I wanted to circle back to, you were talking about introducing him to other dogs. I was just remembering in this conversation we're having that his hackles used to go up quite a bit when he would meet a dog. And it didn't seem to be aggression. It just seemed to be a guarded kind of thing. And because of his size and appearance, people would be a little scared by that. And I'm just realizing now that he really doesn't do that as much. He barely does it at all anymore. He kind of freezes and then pretty much wants to start playing.
Yeah. But we do have ways of helping him run. You know, if we get to the park at 6 a.m, which we do sometimes, and do a call and response with him, we can get some good exercise and he's having a lot of fun. And there's one place where we can take him off leash and he'll follow us. That's another good command we have, is follow. And he just follows.
Yeah, I've seen videos of that on Instagram. There's a place where he's following you alongside a fence on a path.
Yeah. That's amazing. The river, the LA River. Yeah.
Amazing. And he doesn't hit the fence.
No. And he just goes along.
As I said, he's not completely blind. He sees shapes and shadows and dark and light. So when you're looking at a long path, I think he can see that long line.
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling. I don't know. But
yes. The big thing for me is it's the relationship and the bond that you build with him. Mm-hmm. So he trusts you, for that movement. And he stays with you. He's like, these are my people and I want to be around them and I trust them and all of that. And so I want to get to the part of how you've changed your lifestyle a little bit now that you've got a dog. Because I see, like, you've changed the back of your car, Roger, for his setup. And
some of the house
recently,
rules have changed,
the house rules have changed. I've seen somebody the dog lying on a cushion on a couch.
On the bed.
Yes, that you said, no, that won't happen.
Oh, I know. And I mean, I'm such a hypocrite. It hurt when I was not a dog person. Oh my gosh. Now I'm a dog person. Now I'm in cages with my dog, which is kind of a funny thing because the bed is positioned in such a way that he can kind of get a running start and then leap onto the bed. And he really gets a lot of joy because he knows where the bed is and he could just kind of, I'm going to come in and join you in bed. But you can't really overexcite him, or all of that sort of distance, height, all goes out the window. We were all excited for him to join us after his breakfast, and he went smack right into the footboard. But then he just sort of like sits there and, then Roger immediately got up and was like, come on, let's do it this way. And he got him back up on the bed, making sure he jumped so he wouldn't feel like he couldn't do it.
What
was the transition to the couch? That's what I want to see. And the pillow under his head.
It was all me. I'm the one who, I can't, he's just adorable. I can't.
He is. He's absolutely. And we'll put some pictures of him up in our Instagram too, because he is so adorable.
No, I think it was, I think you might have been away. And I just, I wanted to have him. I love having him here when Roger's not here. Yeah, it's nice.
It's a great companion. Yeah. So, Roger, you go out on some fun trips with your car. And when you got the car, you kind of set it up to make him comfortable in the back so he could come with you. So tell us a little bit about his adventures with you.
Well, I have an old classic sports car that I was rebuilding before we got Scout. And I didn't plan on having a dog in the car. And I kind of got the car and Scout. I got the car finished and Scout kind of at the same time, in within a week or two of each other. And after a while, we started taking Scout out in our other car. And I don't...
We introduced him to the Porsche, like, far away from the house.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so loud. It's so loud. Yeah. So
yeah, that's
you
right.
You started it and I walked him over to the Porsche while you were in the Porsche, like trying to get him to recognize you. And then you turned it off and turned it on again. It was easy. He got in eventually that time. And then you took him for a ride.
Yeah.
But the rest is history.
Well, the car, it's really small in there. And because of his size, he doesn't fit that comfortably in the passenger seat. So I had to make a more comfortable bench for him. Mm-hmm. And I have a good friend who has a workshop. And so I designed this special bench that fits perfectly into the back of the car and it's removable. And my buddy helped me build it and it just nestles in there. And it just so happens that the back of the car is the exact size of a standard dog bed.
Wow.
So the bed just kind of covers the bench and just creates this sort of playpen for him back there. And then,
how did you do the harness?
Yeah, because it's an old car. It has some special luggage hooks at the back windshield. And I just made some straps and adapted them to a harness for him so he'd be safe. And then he was still, because the whole point is to drive the car kind of aggressively, I could see he was sliding around a bit. And we found this dog bed that has a bolstered cushion around it to put in there and so he can be snuggled in there.
Yes.
But I did recently get a new camera to shoot Scout with. And it gave me a view of the back seat that I normally can't see when I'm driving because I'm watching the road. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this, but he stretches his paws out to
brace.
Yes.
You know, I say that to my dogs too. I say, hold on when I'm going around a corner and I can see them kind of putting the pressure down on the front legs.
Yeah. That's funny you say that because I do say something to him before it curves and I never really knew if it made a difference to him. And I still, it does because I mean where I drive there's usually so many curves it probably seems constant to him.
Yeah but he seems to love it from just his expression on his face and
he doesn't
just
get car sick.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, you mentioned the noise of the car. Do you think his other sensory perception is increased? Like, is he sound sensitive? I was thinking about meeting the other dogs. I wonder if he's smelling
real. He's a real sniffer. And when I think real sniffer, we're talking long walks. Yeah. You know? And like you can hear it and you can see the plants moving aside as he loves to sniff. And I know that's their primary sense, so I'm sure he relies on it a lot. One of the other things he does is if a car goes by, and I've noticed other dogs don't do this, they don't seem to care. They're used to it, but he has to stop when the car is coming and he has to track it with his head. I think he can see large things that make noise and he just has to see where it's going. And once it passes, he continues on his way.
Interesting. Smart.
So just having somebody pass us on the opposite side of the street, if he can hear their footsteps, especially obviously if they have a dog, he has to stop and kind of monitor it until they're shot.
Take it in. Yeah.
But there was a little tendency on my part to want to keep him walking and sort of say, hey, come on, let's go. And just recently, I just sort of, you know, Emma taught us about letting him sniff as exercise a long time ago. And then I just recently realized that just like having to monitor the sounds of these things is kind of goes with that. It's like, it's better to just let him, if he wants to monitor a car going by, just let him stop and do it and satisfy himself that he's tracked it and he knows it's gone and he can keep walking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so much learning.
Yeah. So last question for you. What advice would you give to people that are thinking of adopting a dog with special needs?
I have a couple things I thought of. One is, whatever training you want to do or advice or however you are planning to shape the dog, to just remember to be open-minded. I think at first for me, because it was my first dog as an adult, it was like, well, I was on a mission. Like, we are going to learn to do this and we're going to learn to do that and he's not going to do the other thing. And most of those things have come true, but it also had to be like not on my timetable. Mm-hmm. So that would be one piece of advice. And then the other, which goes hand in hand with that too, because he's blind, sometimes no matter how practiced you get at it, you might be walking with somebody and having a conversation, and for just a second, he darts out in a way that you weren't expecting and runs into something, and you feel bad because you feel like it was your job to help him not do that. So the other advice is, whatever the dog's disability is, there are going to be pitfalls, and that people that are caring for the dog shouldn't feel bad. That's just going to happen. You have to give the dog and yourself permission to make those mistakes.
That's nice.
That's like for all of us. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So anything else you guys want to add?
Well, my life has changed since I've had this dog. And, you know, I'm never a dog person, but now
you're talking to him all day.
I do. I just am bowled over by the inexplicable ways that I bond with this creature. I mean, I look at him and I go, oh, you're smiling at me. And then he does something with his face. I'm like, no, you're a dog. And it's like, oh. It's just like back and forth and a mystery and magical. And we're lucky, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. He's a super dog. Yeah, definitely. Great match. Roger, when you're out in your car and he's out there on adventures with you, and sometimes at home on the couch, on the pillow, sleeping, you have that on Instagram. So just tell us where we can find that.
Yes. So it's at Roger, R-O-G-E-R, snaps, like snapshots. So
Roger. Oh my gosh, I thought your last name was Snaps.
Roger Snaps. And that's all one word, right? When it's on there, right? Yeah, perfect. And we'll everybody should check that out, because there's such an amazing video of Scout. Scout, we can see right now because we're on Zoom, and he is so adorable.
He's Pity, and what else?
Of course, we had to have his DNA.
Yes.
Okay, so he's, you say it because you know better.
He's Ostrichshire Pitsky Cheesehound.
He's like, what breed is he? And we were like, he's pretty much a cheesehound. But then we thought, they're going to actually think we're serious. They're going to say, well, what's a cheesehound?
Yeah, or what kind of cheesehound?
It'll be like, it's an Ostrichshire.
Well, I'll just give you the real. So we had his DNA done, and he's Staffordshire Terrier, Australian cattle dog, pit bull, and husky.
Wow. That's amazing.
Sure, pit cheesehound.
I see a lot of pit catalog mixes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Lots in the Central Valley.
That's interesting. We think he came from the Central Valley.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And he has light eyes. Not blue eyes, but they're lighter.
They're lighter, yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us. I'm still so amazed about how much knowledge you have, for a first-time dog owner. It just blows me away. So I just want to let you know.
I feel like that was like good life skills advice.
I know.
Not even about a dog, just for me to do.
It's not like the other way around. Yeah. They were giving us information today. So that was really great. So thank you again.
You're welcome, and thank you.
So we love to meet you.
Yeah, and we love the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining us, and check out our Instagram this month. We're going to be posting lots of great photos of Scout on his adventures.
Maybe a movie of him running around the field.
Yeah. All right, till next time.
Thanks for tuning in today, and hope you'll join us for our next episode. You can reach Emma at ecdogtraining.com or on Instagram at ecdog_training, and Kirsten at kwhappydogs.com or on Facebook at KW Happy Dogs. Don't forget to hit subscribe. See you next time.